We're good. All right, if we could reconvene. I think you should enjoy them all. Don't listen to him. All right, if I could please have staff come forward, starting with our city attorney on this issue. I'm going to ask for the response from a few of the issues that were raised, and then, I'm sorry. Mr. Kafori, would you come up? Sorry, Frank, before you sit. Mr. Kafori, I forgot. I thought you had one more. We'll let her come up come on up. Mr. Kin, can you?
Can we add another chair?
Could you vacate your chair for just a second? Sorry.
That has my email on top of it. I just received it.
Hi. Sorry we missed you. Would you like to begin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the council, my name is Stephen Corey. I'm here representing Broadwood Cab. And three congratulations in order. First, Commissioner Chris, on your victory. Mr. Mayor, on your arts victory. Yeah. And Mr. Fish, on not having your run.
And you might have heard us earlier. We were saying no more tributes to Commissioner Fritz. So
thanks for sharing.
We're grandfathering you in, Mr. Kafori.
The staff report from January made quite clear that taxi drivers in Portland do not
make as much money as they should. While we disagree with many of the specific findings in the study, we do agree with this conclusion. Thus, we were stunned to see the recommendations from the staff and board that additional taxi licenses be granted. Simple economics dictates that as the supply of taxis increase, the available revenue to existing taxi drivers will decrease, absent an increase in demand for taxi service. In recommending this increase in taxis, staff has made several assertions that we challenge, as we see no documented evidence to support these assertions. The first is a faith-based suggestion that, quote, if we build it, they will come, unquote. Somehow, having more taxi on the streets will cause more folks to want to utilize taxi service. Portland will become a city where taxis are hailed. Maybe. Second is the statement that because some small companies cannot meet requests for service, there is a shortage of taxis. Aside from a few anecdotes, there is no evidence to support that proposition. Then there's a statistically based assertion that because Portland's population has grown and no new licenses have been granted in several years, there must be a shortage of taxis. They point to increases in air traffic at Portland to prove their point. However, as you've heard tonight, the Port of Portland has placed a cap. The port does not see a huge increase in demand for new taxis. Staff also provides comparisons to taxis to population ratios in cities of comparable size, showing that Portland has fewer taxis per person. But they do not analyze the differences among these cities in terms of public transportation systems, geographical features, economics, taxi cultures, etc., that might explain why this is true. Reading these recommendations just shows several rationales for increasing license numbers where there's neither hard proof nor anecdotal evidence that existing drivers will not be harmed by increasing the supply of taxis. In fact, our experience at Broadway Cab has been that any increase in taxi licenses creates hardships for existing taxi drivers. We therefore respectfully suggest you do not grant any new licenses. But if you do grant union licenses, let that be all. Then use that as an experiment, using rigorous methods to determine the additional effects of the 50 licenses before adding any on top of that. Then and only then will you have the hard evidence you need to ascertain whether this city needs and can handle additional licenses. In the meantime, please direct the industry and the staff to work together on developing the performance standards recommended in this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla, did the timer break? Hi.
Hi. I would just, mine is very quick. This is Ray Miles with Broadway Cab. I'm just going to ask you not to add any additional permits at this time. While I don't speak for the drivers, I have visited with many of them over the last few weeks. And to be honest, they feel betrayed by the city at a time when the city had promised to help. The city's actually on the brink to do them a lot of harm. And so I just would relay that to you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cannon? So if council would bear with me, I'm going to ask a series of questions, and then I'll give you a chance to ask your own as well. What is your response to Mr. Donnelly's contention that the hearing that we are in right now is not comport with our own rules?
For the record, Ken McGair from the city attorney's office. I was handed the letter during the break, and I had an opportunity to read it. And I think it's important at the onset to note that the code, and I think Director Lanham laid this out, the code has two very specific procedures, one for existing companies requesting additional permits and one for new companies requesting additional permits. As I read the code, the Private for Hire Board has complied with the requirements and the process regarding new companies requesting permits. Mr. Dolan, as I understand the argument, has conflated the two provisions with regards to the notice requirements for existing companies requesting additional permits, which is not the hearing we're here on right now. We're only here on a hearing for the three new applicants and not the existing companies requesting additional permits, which is in the purview, actually, of the Private for Hire Board. Having a chance to look at his letter and not the affidavit that was attached to it, admittedly, that's the requirements, the process requirements were complied with during the September 26th and subsequent meeting that was held on October 10th.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. The issue of, the whole reason I asked for the driver quality of work-life study was to make sure that we did a better job as a city council and you as the regulatory compliance folks, and you're relatively new at the job, so it's been great to have your experience but fresh eyes on this, that the city needs to do more regulating around quality of work life and economic viability for drivers. One of the statistics that relates to the question of whether or not any new permits should be issued is, obviously, does that dilute? This particular hearing is about the new applications. We'll move in a few minutes to the other part of the hearing that talks about the other reforms. But I'd like you to comment on the town car, because one of the striking trends that I've seen is a very large increase in market share for town cars, which we all agree the city has only recently, being your staff given the resources, and we have more resources coming to really clamp down on illegal use, or whatever it's called, of town cars. And that part of the goal here is to have the taxi rides with taxis and not with town cars. Can you talk a little bit about those trends? Is my observation correct?
Sure. Unless you've been coming to all these meetings for the past 2 years, it's hard to understand how an increase in taxi permits is going to help drivers. But there are several other factors that come along with it. Back in 2008, when Soren Garber did the demand study, one of the things that he found was if you ask taxi customers as they leave the airport whether they want a taxi or a town car, you have some very good statistics there about the proportion of the population that wants each, and Portland had at that point way more town cars proportionally to taxis than were needed. And this was a result of all those long years from 1998 to 2008 where town cars and shuttles and other modes increased, but taxis were not allowed to increase. So starting in 2009, we really started doing some upgraded enforcement on the town car drivers who were acting as taxis and thus breaking city code. And as a result of that, we have significantly decreased, actually, the number of town car drivers. But the number of taxis is still out of proportion with that. And so along with the performance standards that we're going to put in place and the other partnerships with Travel Portland and driver training, we really do believe that there is a significant unmet need for taxis out there right now. Part of it's being filled by illegal operators. Part of it's being filled by town cars who are operating outside of the rules. So everything, that's the holistic aspect of it that all goes together. You can increase taxis and still increase the amount of business that's available to all the drivers of taxis.
Now, why is that again? I'm still having a hard time understanding.
So right
that.
Now there's a significant amount of leakage from what should be rides taken by taxis that are right now being taken by town cars. And it's only in recent years that we've started to get tough on town cars. We need to provide more taxi, and town cars have been allowed to increase in terms of how many they are and the amount of trips they take, while taxis have remained absolutely flat in terms of the number of taxis.
Town cars and SAT permits, which has been mentioned repeatedly by the drivers as taking fares away that were taxi fares before.
Are you saying that, in essence, in the downtown core, because that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's where town cars and cabs really compete, that we can clamp down on illegal town cars, which we should, and I know we've taken actions for, and that in of itself will justify demand of
it's one of the 50 factors.
To 100 in different permits, and it's going to improve driver
It's one of the factors. We also do definitely believe there's unmet demand for taxis, even downtown, and we have, although we have not commissioned any formal study, we have taken information from a couple of different sources. People who need accessible transportation, wheelchair transportation. We are receiving complaints of lots of uncovered time periods. We did our own, we went out and we tried to get taxis in different parts of the city, including downtown at different times of the day or night, and there is definitely a very long 1.5 hour to 2 hour wait time, sometimes even during non-peak times. There is also times when you cannot get a taxi at downtown stands, particularly late at night. And there's also a lot of unmet demand on the weekend when the bars are closing. And all these are typical problems that cities have when there's such a long period of time and no new permits are issued.
So the other question I want to air out is I was troubled by the testimony from the Port of Portland, a division manager of the Port of Portland, because it is now quite common to have rail transit to and from airports. This is no longer, Portland might have been one of the earliest after San Francisco, but it isn't unique anymore. And I understand, although not scientific, you did some research on this issue or related issues of markets.
Our conversation in the break really had more to do with the academic literature that we reviewed about the New York City experience, which is really the only credible research that you can find out there. There is a correlation between an expansion of demand because of greater availability of cabs on very short notice and an increased number of permits. So that was the piece that we were talking about in the break. As to the demand from the port, we have some very specific statistics in the report that indicate that the number of vehicles moving in and out of the Port of Portland has dramatically increased over the last few years. And then there was another statement that was made, and I think I should
You mean private vehicles?
No, I'm sorry, private for hire vehicle, taxis particularly. And then there was a further statement made as to the veracity of the data in the report around whether or not there was an increase in the number of departures and arrivals out of PDX. And I think what I would say there is whenever you cherry pick a base year and decide to carry that base year forward, you're going to come up with a different result. So when we first heard that criticism, we took a hard look at the data. I had my auditors pore over it, a separate division from the regulatory division. And we fitted trend lines to every bit of that data, and it doesn't, it's a gentle upward slope, no matter how you choose to look at that data over that decade. So
a gentle upward slope
of an increase.
Passengers leaving and entering the airport?
Yes. And the source data, of course, was from the port itself.
All right. Other questions, Commissioner Fish?
Thank you, Mayor. It's at this point in our hearing where we try to make sure that questions or comments that were raised before come back to staff so that the record is clear. And one of the comments that someone previously made was that if we issue these new permits and the company fails, then what happens to the permits? So would you address that question?
Yes, it's within the purview of the regulatory division to actually take those permits back. And furthermore, if one company changes ownership, the city must approve that change in ownership. So there are some good checks in place to make sure that these permits don't end up cattywampus in the market, screwing things up in ways that people never intended.
And that's our insurance that someone doesn't come before us as entity A and at some point be taken over by another entity or morph into something else and just assume that those permits continue with the new operator.
The intent of the code and the way the code is built is to address that exact issue. Go ahead.
So if there was a change of ownership with Solidarity Cab Cooperative or some other significant legal change, that would come back to council as rather than the permits being transferred to some third party automatically?
In the past, it actually hasn't come back to council, but it's been approved by the city attorney's office. But if you wanted to make a condition on this new company, I think you have the option of making any condition you want.
Well, and I want to be clear, I'm not singling out any particular applicant as raising concerns with me, but since there has been presented as an issue of concern, I think that we ought to have some mechanism so that they are being, it is the will of this council to issue them, they go to a specific entity and not be assigned or transferred to a third party without our knowledge or consent.
My understanding is, from the way the code is written, if somebody buys the entire company, all its assets and liabilities, then it would probably only have to pass through city attorney review. So if you want to make a condition that it stays with these owners, if you issue a new company permit, you probably want to explicitly make that condition.
Thank you.
Commissioner Seltzer?
Well, I guess, are we at the point of offering amendments? Because I think that's a great condition. I'd like to offer that condition if Commissioner Fish is.
Well, we're going to make motions in a minute.
So, oh, okay.
This is more like a land use thing.
Okay. So, and I realize maybe I'm getting off course here, but I'm still...
By Roland's here.
Okay. How is the new company or union cab company, I guess, is it going to pay a wage or a salary to its drivers? How do we know the union drivers are going to have a better standard of living, better working hours, better working conditions than that have been described to us today by cab drivers working for other companies?
So currently the city does not regulate the conditions under which the taxi drivers work for each of the taxi companies. And one of the main things that came out of all the meetings was that it was really important to put performance standards in place that would be reviewed every time a taxi company renewed their permits to make sure that driver conditions were a part of the picture and a part of the consideration. One thing that we did find very clearly in the taxi driver labor market study is that there was a clear difference in Portland between all the other companies and the one company that's now driver-owned. And I guess it's kind of if the drivers own the company and they're running the company and they're making all the policy decisions, it's thought that perhaps that will make for better conditions for drivers. It gives them more control.
Does that... sort of the rising tide lift all ships apply here, end of that model?
That's really what a part of the hope is, and it's what happened in Denver. We understand that you have about 1,000 drivers, and you have 382 permits, and they've stayed the same for a long time. If the companies have to compete a little harder for the drivers, then it should make conditions better for drivers at all the companies, if there are more options for drivers.
And then the question about accessible cabs, is there a requirement right now that fleets have a certain number of accessible cabs or not?
There is a requirement in code that it's 20%, but there's also a loophole whereby if the companies join together and cover each other's calls, they can bring it down to 10%, and we're looking to remove that loophole and make the performance standard be either 20 or 25%.
Okay, 20 or 25%, and does that take into account this growing market for prepaid medical visits, which
probably not.
By all accounts is growing.
Probably not. It should probably be a higher percentage. But there's
the ability to make it a higher percentage? Is that, do we have that authority, or the private for hire board where does have that authority?
I think ultimately you would have that authority. Yeah.
But let's note your legislative intent, your request that the staff and the board look at that issue and come back either under their own auspices or back to council. All right, Commissioner Fritz?
I'm just wondering what the next steps are. This is a report, so we accept the report and direct?
No, I'm just about to make motions.
Okay, good.
It's more like a land use issue. So I move to deny the application of Always Cab Company based on the report's recommendation.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We have to do each of these individually, apparently.
Where's amendments?
Well, that's being denied.
We're being denied. When we get to Union Cab,
Okay.
It's been a long day. It's been a long fall. Motion has been made. It's been seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
You have to play by the rules in order to get approved by a positive recommendation from the board and a positive vote from me. You have to clear up your violations. You can reapply, but until you clear up your violations, we can't be approving. I don't believe we can be approving this under our own code. I move to deny the application of Portland Electric Cab based on the report's recommendations.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Carla, can you call the vote on the motion?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I will support the motion, but I also would like my legislative intent to be, I would like to see us explore opportunities in the future to encourage a move to a more of an electric fleet generally, and how we might do that, and ask the board to come back to the council with recommendations. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
I agree with the statements of Commissioner Fish. Aye. All right, I move to accept the application of Union Cab based on the report's recommendations with the following conditions.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. And I offer this amendment with Commissioner Saltzman not because of any, not to cast aspersions on the applicant, but because staff has said that it's within our purview, and if it is the intent to issue these permits to a single entity, if at some point that entity is acquired by a third party as a condition of our action today, we would like that to come back to council. And that is my motion.
Second. So you're just amending my motion, which I'm accepting as a friendly amendment. Do you second?
Yes.
So moved and seconded. Discussion of the motion. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Yay. Very pleased to support the motion. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
To cast no aspersions on the non-driver consortium companies, but I think that it is very clear and compelling, the review that was completed by staff, that there really are potential advantages to a driver-owned cooperative cab that is being proposed like Union Cab. Very clear and convincing evidence. I think a number of models can work in this market, but the homework that's been done the study by staff, I'm pleased to vote aye. Motion is approved.
I have one potential amendment, and that's on the accessible cabs.
We'll do that in the next. We're now going to this next hearing. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Because you wanted to make a recommendation.
You wanted to apply to everybody. All right, Carla, can you please read items,
each one,
the rest of the item titles?
I'm going to make it.
Yes.
Inadvertently over or under
1260 amend private for hire transportation regulations.
For those of you that are here in orange shirts, I will take the liberties of as chair of the meeting. If you want to clap right now, you can.
Oh, well.
Now that we got that out of the system, can you please read the titles to the next portion of our gathering?
Mayor, why don't you also let them know if they want to leave?
Right. And
you've accepted the report.
That was the loudest applause I've heard in council chamber in 15 years.
Man, no more tributes. No more tributes.
I move acceptance.
Are you going to the DBA dinner?
How about that? He's in order. Let me.
Are you in? Why don't you? Why aren't you?
Up. Excellent. Okay. So then you
accept. No. She's doing a victory lap. This is going to go on for about 6 months.
Just okay. Can you reread 1259?
Doing a victory lap, Dan.
All of them.
Title for 1259.
Actually, takes a while to wind down.
She's earned one.
Does take a while to wind down.
So. So we're going to have to continue our hearing here. So we now, I move acceptance of item 1259 as a report. That was approval as a quasi-judicial item. This is now accepting it as a report. It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Mm-hmm. Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. All right. Can you please read the title for the other items?
1260, amend private for hire transportation regulations to add new section paid passenger referrals prohibited. 1261, authorize taxi company performance review for permit renewal process and for additional vehicle permit request. 1262, increase taxi cab fare rates. 1263, increase taxi company and taxi vehicle fees. And 1264, direct the Revenue Bureau and the Private for Hire Transportation Board to prepare proposed changes to Portland City Code Chapter 16.40 and administrative rule changes as necessary to implement the Joint Bureau and Board Private for Hire Transportation Program recommendations for taxi industry reform.
This past January, at my direction, the Revenue Bureau released a study of the economic working conditions of Portland's taxi drivers. You've heard some of the preview of that in our previous quasi-judicial hearing. The review found that the average hourly wage, the hourly income of Portland taxi drivers is $6.22, more than $2 below the Oregon minimum wage. Driver wages are not supplanted with health care or retirement benefits, not often. Paid vacation or sick leave, many drivers work long hours, 12 to 14 hours, which is the max per day, 6 or 7 days per week. Currently, the city regulates taxi fares and a number of permits, but our regulations are found, in my mind, to be insufficient to promote sustainable and reasonably fair working conditions for drivers. This has not been an easy issue, like any of our regulated industries, and we regulate, for example, all the garbage collection in the city. For all of our regulated industries, we do want to be very careful and thoughtful about the changes that we make. This has been a well-studied, and we have taken the time, longer time than some would have wanted us to, but we have taken the time to learn everything that there is we think possible to learn short of actual experience with the changes. We must do better. This council has absolutely set as one of the four goals of the city, in addition to prosperity and education and health, is equity. And this, in this case, it's equity for both those that invest in these companies, but also for the folks that work for them. I want to thank the Private for Hire Transportation Board, which heard significant amounts of public testimony. As I understand it, scheduled additional meetings to consider the issue over a longer period of time and weighed each element of the proposal in a very diligent manner. Their work was supported by excellent staff work from the folks that you see in front of the City Council. I've made two recommendations of my own to this package with an eye towards enhancing taxi drivers, the life of taxi drivers. One, I've asked the Bureau of Transportation to work with the Private for Hire Board of Review and taxi companies to provide taxi stands at locations where they're needed. And by the end of this calendar year, hopefully into the before the holiday season, we are going to be opening up significant new taxi stands in the city at no charge to bona fide taxi companies and where people are looking for them. One approach is to convert some of our truck loading zones into split-use zones. These zones will function as loading zones when there are trucks to park in them and unload, but also can serve as taxi stands when there isn't, as long as someone's at the vehicle, when there isn't a truck or a delivery vehicle that needs that zone. That alone could open up dozens and dozens of new places for taxis to queue. Two, I've directed the Bureau of Revenue to add language to the fees ordinance requiring review and approval by the Revenue Bureau Director before making any changes to fees or payments charged to the drivers. There will need to be changes over the years, but we are now regulating not only for the customers, not only for the investors, but now also regulating for the drivers. We need to take the recommendations related to new company applications. We already did that as a separate matter, and we will now open up for staff presentations on this portion of our hearing.
Thank you, Mayor. You summed that up very well. I'll keep my remarks brief. I've been associated with the Revenue Bureau for 8 years in various roles, on and off, again, responsibility for the regulatory division of the Bureau, even in times where there was no such division, but a cluster of employees. One of my observations as a director and also in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, my 15 years of the city in general, is that this is the most understaffed, overworked unit that I've ever seen. In terms of the number of people that we have, including Kathleen, we have three FTE to manage all of the various activities that you've heard about today, to keep these different market segments separate as they're intended to be separate under code, and to attempt to regulate and enforce portions of the code that are quite difficult to enforce, infractions that are going on at 2 o'clock in the morning and I have to pay overtime. So I can't tell you enough how critical it is that we actually have some additional staff support to take care of the enforcement that needs to occur. And so some of the changes before you today would actually allow me to add two FTE to do that. I should also note that Kathleen has 8 or 9 other programs underneath the regulatory division. This just happens to be the one that she gets tasked to work on the most. So that said, the other observation that I would offer is that I have watched the regulatory division over the years because of staff limitations. Really what we've done over time is to implement one-off changes over the course of decades. There was no manager for a long period of time. There was no concerted effort to have any kind of strategic viewpoint about our regulation. And that is why the city of Portland is in the position it is today, where we've inadvertently, organically, over time, and under different supervision, promulgated a set of administrative rules and city code that doesn't make any sense anymore. And so that's why today, as I offered my initial thoughts about a wide range of topics, and this is why that we spent over 2 years studying this issue and took some criticism for taking that long. We didn't want to continue to do this one-off kind of change in environment that got us in this position in the first place. So that's why you see a series of ordinances before you that we think are necessary to implement immediately to start to address the equity issues that you see, the enforcement issues that you've heard about today, and finally, the resolution at the back end, which tells the Bureau, and oh, by the way, go do all the other things you said you need to do, too. The resolution directs the Bureau to come back to the City Council in April of 2013, so 5 months from now, and report on the status of the program as a whole, not just the decisions that you're making today, but our progress going forward, the success or failure of some of the reforms that we've introduced today to the extent that we can report on them in such a short time frame. So I will stop there.
And anyone wants to amend that date and make it further out, that would be okay.
I was just going to ask, you've just given a great prelude to, can you also include and come back to us in April with a recommendation on increasing or perhaps increasing the number of accessible cabs as a percentage of all fleets from,
yes,
I'd say currently 20 to at least 30,
yes,
maybe 35%. So yes, that'll come back to us in April 13th.
Let's go through that, if I could, though. Can you just run through what the changes are really quick?
Sure. There's an ordinance that would prohibit the practice of giving or receiving payments in return for fares, particularly hotel valets, and sometimes dispatchers require these payments in order to get to give good fares to taxi drivers, and this is a significant problem both for driver income and also for public safety. And this prohibition was brought forward by drivers and voted unanimously by the board as a recommendation. We're also one of the biggest proposals that joined together everything during all these months of meetings was the drivers, the companies, the bureau all agree that what we need is really rigorous performance standards that we actually review before we renew permits in the future. And so there's an ordinance here that authorizes us developing these performance standards and making sure that they're reviewed when permits are renewed. There's an ordinance to increase taxicab fare rates. There's been a 20-cent per mile, what's it called?
Surcharge.
Gasoline surcharge that's been in effect for over a year now, and we want to make that a part of the permanent rate and add an additional 10-cent cost of living increase to that. And also, there's an ordinance to increase taxi company and vehicle permit renewal fees. Currently, the average that a company can get at a minimum per permit is $26,000 a year. And we're asking to increase the vehicle permit fee that the city would receive to $600 a year. Right now it's $180. So it's and this was voted by the board as a very reasonable fee increase. The company fees will be broken out into a sliding fee scale depending on how many permits the company has, so that will become more equitable. And then the resolution just directs the board and the bureau to go forward with the other recommendations that were considered crucial, such as requiring the companies to have backseat credit card machines and other kinds of improvements that will be better for customer service and also driver equity.
Commissioner Fritz?
So just a clarification on the April date. And Director Lanham, I do appreciate your comment about the hardworking staff, and you have done an amazing job here. But it seems to me that ordinance resolution 1264 said December of next year rather than April of next year.
The resolution says that the resolution 1264 speaks to the 13 reform items, many of which are before you today, some of which are not, and directs the Bureau to get them all implemented by December of 2013, but to report back as to progress generally, I believe, unless I misread it, no later than April 1, 2013. So the intent of this resolution isn't to say get these all done and report on them before you're being told to get them done.
Right.
Rather, to report back generally about the program because you are being asked to make a number of fairly significant changes to an industry. There's a lot of moving parts out there.
And you obviously will get them done as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Yeah. You may find, like me, that now you don't have a lot of other things on your plate, that the things that are actually can get done a lot faster. And the concern you mentioned about the meters in the back and the credit card making it easier for some folks, you'll be taking a look at the issue of accessibility and wheelchair.
We've already started discussing it. And part of that has to do with the vehicles that are older. The newer vehicles actually make more accommodations for maneuverability. And you might recall that we had an ordinance before you recently that passed that makes them have newer vehicles. It's now a 10-year limit rather than a 15-year limit. So
I've been very impressed with this whole process and the report and the clarity, and this hearing today has been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Seltzman?
So you mentioned that part of the fare increase goes to a cost of living. So I'm just unclear, because as I understand, drivers now pay a kitty. They don't get a wage from the company. So how does that fare increase translate into a cost of living for the drivers?
The driver keeps the fare and pays the kitty to the company. And so if the per mile rate is increased, then their
I got it.
Their revenue increases. We also have to regulate on the other end and make sure that the company payments don't go up.
Okay, thanks.
I think part of the language that you heard there had to do with the fact that we did look at CPIW at Salem, Portland, going back 15 years, and determined that everybody else in every other sector is getting significant increases in their income, but absolutely not in the taxi industry.
How many people have signed up? 12? All right. Thank you all. Well, don't go far. We'll do 2 minutes each.
The first four, please come on up, are Red Diamond, Martin Dolan, Lennon, not sure the last name, in 121st Avenue in Vancouver, and William Hazen.
Please call the next two.
Ollie Robertson. Robel Burhan.
Come on up. Next one.
And Tesfaye Alime.
Tesfaye. All right. Please begin, sir.
Good afternoon. Red Diamond, Portland's taxi driver representative. I don't have any prepared statements, but I do want to mention that this scheduling procedure has been complicated by certain conditions whereby I, as a board member, was not given adequate opportunity to prepare to respond to these proposals. And that is becoming a legal matter, and I guess it's best for the attorneys to speak of that directly. But I have read the ordinances as they appear on the Portland Online website, and they all state that that these ordinances have been debated and approved by the Private for Hire Transportation Board. Well, this is incorrect. In point of fact, the Private for Hire Transportation Board has not debated, has not voted on, and has not approved these ordinances, with the exception of the kickback, the anti-kickback ordinance. Indeed, it's never even gone to the agenda. So we have never had any opportunity to discuss these matters, debate them, and vote on them. And that's a very significant concern of mine. I will state, as Portland's taxi driver representative, that we are not asking for a rate increase for the meter. We are small business operators, and as such, we know that when you increase your prices to the customer, it helps drive them away. Ours is a competitive marketplace. We see the new streetcar going online, the new MAX line going out to Milwaukee. We see these cars to go popping up everywhere. They get free parking downtown. They are whittling away our market share. And increasing the cost of our service to our customers will help drive them away. And so we are not asking for this. The fact that it is the Revenue Bureau that is asking for this and not the cab drivers is very telling to me about the process that we're seeing here. Also, as far as increasing the licensing fees go, we have heard already from one taxi company that they plan to increase the kitty to the drivers in direct response to increasing the permitting fees and licensing fees. It is invariably, and history demonstrates this in this city, it is invariably the taxi driver that absorbs the increase in these expenses. And we certainly don't want that to occur. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, Martin Dolan. What Mr. Diamond said is in his affidavit, that the October 10th board meeting did not discuss the issues that are being addressed in this recommendation. What is very important now that the permit issue has been voted on would be to understand what impact those new permits are going to have on exactly the recommendations that we're talking about here. And so if you really, you've heard all the testimony, but if you really want to know what's going to work for the taxi drivers and you've heard the impact, at least the potential impact of these things, there needs to be a discussion. There needs to be, well, some more due process about now what is the impact of these permits going to be. So you should get feedback. You should know how these recommendations, which are fairly general, right, how they are going to be impacted by what the council has just done. So for that reason, again, we would ask that we just go to the next board meeting. We process the information. We present the information. And then those recommendations are going to make more sense. Now they're pretty general. But if you look at, if you can do a study, we plan to get an economist, we're going to get a CPA, we're going to look at now the effect of permits on the driver's conditions, you kind of owe them that, to give them the chance to look at what's just been done and let the board look at it. Maybe they'll come out with the same recommendations, maybe they won't. But this whole process is going so fast, and you can tell the drivers just have not had the chance to get their teeth into some of this stuff. So you kind of, these guys have been taking Portland residents all over the city for a long time. You think you'd give them just that chance. Give them to the next regular scheduled board meeting. And for the record, I conflated nothing in those rules previously. Nothing further. Thank you.
Sir, hi. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Robert Burhan, and I'm from a union cab cooperative. And I wrote this before we get the approval, but anyway, I thank you for all of you and Private for Hire commissioners and all the way from the secretaries, everyone in between. And thank you for, congratulations for your re-election. But anyway, Mr. Diamond here is he's supposed to be a driver's representative. From day one, from the get-go, we talked to him about what we're trying to do. And his response was he don't want to hurt the companies. And we, the drivers, were suffered by the companies, by unfair business practices. And our wages, the fines, it's outrageous. I have one driver friend of mine that I know. He got fined $8,000 in 1 year. I can bring the document. But instead of helping the drivers, he keep talking about he don't want to hurt the companies. How about me? How about everyone else over here? The companies are individuals. I mean, we have a lot of families. Those companies have smaller families than us. But now he's talking about, oh, he didn't hurt anything, he didn't hurt whatever. He doesn't represent the drivers at all, period. We put him here. I gave him personally 20, 30 drivers to become a driver's representative. But anyway, this is all I got to say. So,
thank you. Appreciate it.
He doesn't represent the drivers, period.
Thank you. Sir, welcome back.
Today's our number.
Thank you.
Can you push the button there in that red light right on the base? Yeah, thank you very much.
Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Salzman, Mayor Sam Adams, and Commissioner Fritz, congratulations, by the way, again. Okay. Hey, I'm here.
You'll like this someday. Let her have her moment.
By the way, Commissioner Fritz will be at West Haden Island this evening, accepting further praise for her re-election. And
please begin.
Okay. I'm here. I mean, when a work is done, there should be, people who work has to be commended. I just come here to say thank you staff and the Bureau of Revenue Bureau has to be commended for the job, the time they took. The work they did was, outstanding for me. It's not because I got, the first increase, but the work they have done is commended for me, and I have to say thank you to them. And because I've been coming to these meetings from 1994, and this is the first time I have seen a good process. There might be some mistakes, which is going to be corrected through the process, not by, doing this and that. I'm not, saying this or that, the other, but I have to say they have to be commended. They have done a good job. That's what I would say.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all. Appreciate it. The next four.
Our Veloshlin Karkam, I believe is the name. Stephen Kafori. Ray Miles. Frank Choto. And Brenda Hyatt.
Keep saying names, I guess. Brenda, coming up. Anybody else?
Steve Entler.
Anybody else wish to testify? Anyone else wish to testify? Coming up, sir. We're now closing testimony. All right, you'll be our last folks to testify. So would you like to begin, sir?
Vyacheslav Karhut, Berlin Taxi. Thanks for this chance. It's already been a lot said, but how is it fair for us, being a company in business for 34 years, being loyal to its citizens of this state and of this city, and yet we're 26 vehicles, and brand new company is going to start with 50 cabs at once, and even with the increase that proposed, which I'm not complaining, but it's going to bring us 38 vehicles in 3 years after this. And we're still going to be the smallest cab company, and how is it fair? And yet, you know, all the calls that we're transferring to different CAPCOM because we couldn't handle the business volume because we're just small fleet, and we just cannot be on every corner in 5 minutes. And this year alone, we give out more than 8,000 phone calls to bigger cab companies. So how is it fair? You guys giving a chance to the new company that you're just letting something out of the box where you have the business model, you have the company that's been working and everything, and we're going to be still miniature. And just add to the record, you know, what was hurting these drivers. It's not the kitty, it's the bad mismanagement of the company and also the gas guzzlers that they drive. They drive very inefficient vehicles. So, just for the record.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Brenda Hyatt. I testified earlier and figured out that this is where I should have been. But I would implore you guys not to allow this to stretch on for a year. I understand the Private for Hire Transportation Board is understaffed and overworked, and they have done a very commendable job. But even if you have to use temporary workers, interns, volunteers, this is impacting the lives of 1,000 drivers, or pretty close to that number. So I would ask that time frame be reduced drastically so we can get these standards improved. I would also ask that you pay attention to all 12 of the things that I outlined in the testimony that I handed out. But there are a couple that I would really like to mention, and that's the need for a 24-hour code enforcement officer. That program could be patterned after the Department of Public Safety standards and training that does security guards and police department in self-supporting enforcement officers by increasing taxi license fees, by increasing taxi company fees. And that way it would also increase the amount of revenue that is given to each, you know, is available to every driver. I would like to see companies not be allowed to make more money off of their drivers than they are in the weekly kitties. I would like those weekly kitties reduced, but right now most of the companies, or at least Broadway, for instance, is making additional money off the driver's labor on their medical transportation contracts, and they haven't bothered to tell the drivers this. We also, as I stated earlier, definitely need to eliminate the taxi companies or taxi owners with substantial interest in the taxi company's ability to control or own SAT vehicles. That should be an independent agency. They should not be allowed to compete with their own drivers. Thank you.
And we have your written testimony and appreciate you very much. Hi, welcome back.
Steve Antler, Radio Cab. To continue on.
Yes.
myself from the back. The final results of the investigation were printed in a report from the Bureau staff titled Taxi Driver Labor Market Study, Long Hours, Low Wages. Sure enough, just as I suspected would happen, the report clearly separated the working conditions, work hours, wages, and general experiences of radio cab drivers from those of the drivers of all the other permitted taxi companies. The report showed that our drivers earn about twice as much as the drivers from the other companies, work fewer hours as well. I couldn't have been happier because, you see, as a driver-owned company, the focus of the profitability is on the driver's wallet, and working conditions are largely determined by the drivers themselves. Any excess corporate profits are returned to the owner-operator drivers that own the company rather than to an outsider that is simply looking for a return on his investment. I have been involved with radio cab for more than 41 years, and although this may sound like a lot, there are many drivers that have been there much longer than me. They have raised families and put their kids through college, all while pounding out a living, giving service to the citizens of Portland. We now have a lot of second generation and even third generation people working for the company. Radio cab is a way of life for many people. At one point, I mentioned to the Bureau that we had experienced a lot of difficulty diversifying our fleet because of the very few people that ever left. We had to wait for them to either retire or die in order to make room for new drivers. Yesterday, the public cast their votes by way of ballot boxes and mailboxes. They overwhelmingly voted to stay the course and build on the successes of the recent past. They picked their favorite candidates and chose to stick with the ones that were succeeding at the things that concerned them the most. More importantly, they voted not to gamble on unknown ventures or candidates that would possibly proceed down a path that could lead to worse problems for our country than we are already experiencing. In the taxi industry, the public also votes, but they vote in a different way. They vote by telephone. The public chooses to call Radio Cab more than all the other cab companies combined. The data that has been submitted substantiates this and shows that the public chooses to stay the course.
And you're out of time. Thank you for your testimony. You've submitted the written testimony, right?
I didn't, but I do have one.
Great. Thanks, sir.
Okay. First of all, thank you to
Mike.
My name is Kadir Wako.
Got to hit the red button in front of you. On the base there. Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Well, we can hear you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Wow, it's better now. First of all, thank you to Meyer Samada. Nothing would have happened without your effort and the effort of your office. You are the first mayor in the city of Portland to meet twice with immigrant cab drivers. You have used your power and the political capital to help immigrant drivers, and we appreciate that very much. Mayor Adams, we have a place in our hearts for you, and good luck in your future endeavors. We also thank the other commissioner, especially Amanda Fraser and Randy Leonard, for their open mind and the courage in listening to driver grievances as we pursue the American dream. We also are grateful to the City of Portland Regulatory Division, which carried out the driver labor market study, especially Kathleen Butler. Thanks also to the Portland Community Organization, Church, Mosque, Union, and the other organization who gave over 48 endorsement letters in support of Union Cab. A special thanks to CW Local 7901 President Madeline Elder, Oregon AFL-CIO President Tom Chamberlain and staffer Graham Trainer, and to Marguerite Butler and the Jabus Justice. Nothing would have happened without your support and help. Finally, I want to show appreciation for the Portland Driver Self-Help Association member for the bravery in stepping up for the last 4 years in spite of fear of the cab company retaliation. It is my privilege to represent you. Our current mission is accomplished, but we begin a new venture. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. All right, I move. We're now going to go through and consider. We're going to move quick.
Yeah. Clarification. So we're not voting on the 28 new permits recommended by the Private for Hire Board.
They do that.
For existing companies.
Correct. They do that. The board does
but
that.
But the Private for Hire Board did agree they want to review in
you
a year.
Turn to your seats.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah. Maybe bring Kathleen or Thomas up here, or Frank.
Go.
So the Private for Hire Board did agree to revisit any further new permits for existing companies beyond the 28 they approved.
What
in light of to factor in the impact of Union Cab and
the motion that they approved was that they were in favor of issuing just the first year's additional permits, which is 28 total, and they are going to take that official action at their next meeting. They wanted to wait until this process was complete.
Okay.
And then everything will be reviewed before any of the additional years.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so I move to attach the emergency to item 1260.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Specify a specific basis for the emergency?
We currently have a problem, at where town cars and where taxis are getting bribed or...
We call them payments in return for fares.
Payments in returns for fares, and that this is undermining the ability of... and the